Good afternoon. This is Tamara reading the Rantoul Press for the week of January 22nd. We'll start with some local news. Lutheran Church to host IF Gathering 2020. American Lutheran Church will host the IF Gathering 2020 simulcast from 6 to 9 p.m. Friday, February 7th and 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, February 8th. The interdenominational event, featuring inspirational speakers such as Jenny Allen, Beth Moore, and Bianca Althoff, is a time to come together for fellowship, discipleship, worship, prayer, and reflection. For more information and to register, go to https://local.ifgathering.com. Bambanek files to run as GOP write-in for county treasurer. From Urbana. Local cybersecurity expert John Bambanek has filed a declaration of intent to run as a Republican write-in candidate for Champaign County Treasurer in the March 17th primary. But it will be up to the court to decide if a write-in race will appear on the ballot. Bambanek, 42, of Champaign, filed his declaration Wednesday, but it's already been rejected by County Clerk Aaron Emmons based on state election law. While we appreciate your desire to participate in the electoral process, I cannot accept your filing, Emmons said in his response. I'm drawing from the election code 10ILCS5/7-11.1 to make this decision. To be clear, the resignation of the Champaign County Treasurer after December 2, 2019, means the treasurer's office will not appear on the 2020 general primary ballot. Had Democratic County Treasurer Laurel Prussing resigned before the candidate filing period ended December 2, there could have been a race included on the primary ballot, according to Barbara Mann, chief of the civil decision in the state's attorney's office. Bambanek said he was aware of the law, but he filed anyway, with plans to seek a judicial review based on his contention that a section of the state election code is unconstitutional. If he files a legal challenge and prevails, Bambanek would be running in the primary to fill the unexpired 4-year term of Prussing, whose resignation takes effect January 31st. A plan to replace Prussing had already been spelled out by county officials. County Board Chairman Geraldo Rosales plans to appoint a Democrat to take over for Prussing temporarily, and after the primary, both parties will slate their own candidates to run in the November 3rd general election to fill the balance of Prussing's term. A former Unit 4 school board member and state senate candidate, the owner of Champaign-based Bambanek Consulting, said he believes he'd need 185 write-in votes in the primary to advance to the general election in November as the Republican candidate. Illinois State Board of Elections spokesman Matt Dietrich said the deadline for filing a declaration of intent to run as a write-in candidate in the primaries was Thursday. But while Bambanek was within that deadline, the timing of Prussing's resignation would preclude him from being a write-in candidate. The state election code also states that an appointee from the same party as the official who is resigning will serve the rest of the unexpired term unless more than 28 months remain in the term. If more than 28 months remain in the term, the appointment shall be until the next general election, at which time the vacated office shall be filled by election for the remainder of the term, the law states. Bambanek said he dislikes the mechanism in the state election code that leaves party insiders in control over the process and who can run to fill the rest of an unexpired term. And while he's running to win, he said, if the only thing that happens is I strike down a feature of the law, I'm happy. Bambanek recently called on the county board to order a forensic audit of the treasurer's office in the wake of Prussing's resignation and bookkeeping issues in that office that have come to light. While he's in the cybersecurity business, Bambanek contended that he's qualified to serve as county treasurer because he's also an expert on financial crimes and finance. He also believes that while 2018 was a bad election year for Republicans, this election year will be different. It still is possible for Republicans to win offices here, Bambanek said. Attorney General reprimands board president Sweat, Rantoul City School Boards. Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul has cited the Rantoul City Schools Board for violating the Open Meetings Act in the public forum portion of the October 17 meeting. The action came after resident Wendell Golston sent a request to review a possible violation to the Attorney General October 31st. The violation came when Golston was speaking to the board and mentioned a shooting that had taken place that day. Board President Bill Sweat cut in and said, "I hate to have to interrupt you, but that gunplay didn't happen anywhere near the school. I'm just letting you know that this is for school business, so if you would like to bring up something up that happened on the property." Sweat said according to the Open Meetings Act, he was legally able to interrupt Golston. After Golston filed the review, Raoul asked Sweat to provide a written response to the allegations. In the written response, Sweat asserted he has the authority to rule inappropriate comments to be out of order based on School Board Policy 2230 with an emphasis on subsection 4 of 2230. According to a letter that was sent to Sweat and Golston, it was deemed Sweat was not allowed to interrupt Golston. The letter stated, "Subsection 4 does not authorize the President's interruption because the interruption addressed the content of Mr. Golston's comments rather than any procedural matter." At the board meeting on Thursday night, the matter was brought to the rest of the board members. Sweat addressed Golston before the public forum portion of the meeting. "My actions on October 17th, when I interrupted you during the public forum, when you were addressing the board concerning a shooting that occurred in town, was incorrect. I should not have interrupted you and redirected your conversation, and I should have let you go on and continue. Therefore, I give you my apology," Sweat said. Golston then requested an apology from the entire board as well, because the violation was filed under the Rantoul City Schools Board and not just Sweat. The apology was received. Golston said he accepted the apology and said he hoped we can move forward. Resident Jack Anderson then spoke at the public forum and asked Sweat to resign. "I call for you to step down as board president and resign your position on the school board," Anderson said. Anderson said Sweat did not let the board know about the investigation. Sweat responded, "The board did not make this mistake. Bill Sweat made this mistake, so the board is not being held responsible for it. That is why I offered the apology." Sweat also said he would not resign. "My actions have not disgraced the board, have not disgraced this community, and have not disgraced anybody. Therefore, I am not stepping down," Sweat said. Board member Andy Graham also said he was frustrated with Sweat. Graham asked all the board members if they were aware of the Attorney General contacting Sweat, and all said they were not aware. "You were notified October 31st, and now we are hearing about January 16th, Graham said, adding later, "We should have been copied on your response." Sweat admitted he was in error in not copying the full board. Graham said Sweat was making a mockery of this boardroom. "To find out during the public comments of board meetings 2 months after you did it, that is okay?" Sweat said once the decision was rendered, he did not necessarily have the complete opportunity to inform all the board members. The board continued discussion of how they felt the matter should have been handled. The letter from the Attorney General to Sweat and Golston stated, "The public access counselor has determined that resolution of this matter does not require the issuance of binding opinion. This letter serves to close this file." Rantoul Liquor Gaming License Hikes Approved. Rantoul Liquor and gaming license holders will be paying higher fees. The Village Board last week voted 4-2 to approve the fee hikes. Trustees Sam Hall and Gary Wilson voted no. Trustee Terry Workman was absent. It was necessary for Mayor Chuck Smith to vote, and he voted in favor of the increases. Village Clerk Mike Graham said the Illinois Municipal Handbook requires the mayor to vote in the event of a 3-2 vote when there is one trustee absent. "A majority of the elected officials have to vote yes," Graham said. "It has only happened one other time in 10 years. Three liquor and gaming license holders, Steve Kaufman, owner of Bud's Bar, Jimmy Eaker, owner of Rantoul Pub and Shooter's Bar and Grill, and Kevin Appleby, owner of the 19th Hole Bar and Grill at Willow Pond Golf Course, addressed the board at the previous week's study session and decried the increases. Kaufman said local establishments are charged the same by their supplier for their liquor as those in Champaign-Urbana, but they can't charge as much because of the market. Eaker said she doesn't feel the village is backing her business or other local businesses. Well, Appleby said he is losing money when it comes to gaming fees and felt he was being nickeled and dimed with additional fees. The annual liquor license fees will climb by $100 for bars to $2,200, restaurants $1,650, package alcohol businesses $2,200, golf courses $2,200, and beer and wine sales $1,650. The club fee will increase by $50 to $1,100. Gaming terminal fees will climb from $50 to $100 per machine, except for clubs, which will remain at $50. The village will also begin charging companies that furnish gaming terminals to local businesses $1,000 per machine. The Village Liquor Commission had recommended increasing the rates. Liquor Committee member speaks out. Prior to last week's vote, Louise Haynes, a member of the Liquor Committee, said she takes her position on the committee really seriously. She said she earnestly researches a matter before voting on it. I back all of you trustees, and I would appreciate that you guys back the Liquor Commission to increase the fees, Haynes said. We did work hard. We did our research. Haynes said people have approached her about liquor fees. I showed them all the figures, showed them how much money was involved. Everybody knows where to find me. I'm downtown, so if you have any questions or want to see anything, then come see me. It's no big secret how we come to these decisions, but it took all of us on the commission, and we're not doing this to pay somebody's salary. Haynes encouraged the board to ask members of the Liquor Committee if they have a question on recommendations or liquor license issues. You don't have to do that on your own or go to the mayor, Haynes said. Trustee agrees to disagree. Wilson said he supports the Liquor Committee, but he disagrees with the rate increase. It seems like every time we turn around, we have another fee or another tax or gas tax or utility rates and everything, Wilson said. Maybe it's not the popular thing. I know there's administrative costs. We've got to stop the madness somewhere. There's just too much. Wilson said he thinks the fees should have been reduced or stayed the same. He said he would not support the increase. The businesses are here, and they're here to make money, not pay more fees. Hall asked if it was possible to develop an outline that indicates when certain fees will increase. Put something in writing so business owners and such can prepare for that. Trustee Sherry Johnson, who voted with the majority, said every business is going to have price increases. Go to the grocery store. These businesses are making money. They can pay a little extra, Johnson said. She noted that the owner of the gaming terminals pay half the cost, and she cited Haynes' comments. They've done all the research. We should take their recommendation, Johnson said. Trustees had asked for 2019 figures comparing what area communities charge, to which Trustee Hank Gamble said, the most salient part was the comparison between how expensive or inexpensive it is to consume adult beverages. He said Rantoul seems to be the cheapest among all the area communities. Village Administrator Scott Eisenhower said in looking at all Champaign County towns with a population of less than 20,000, that there is no question that per capita, even with the proposed rate increases, Rantoul would be the cheapest. The board also recognized the awarding of $500 scholarships to Dominique Kissentier and Josie Amerio. Kissentier is an early graduate and is attending Parkland College, and then the University of Illinois. His goal is to become a Marine Corps officer. Amerio is enrolled at Parkland through the Parkland Pathways to University of Illinois program for ag accounting. She hopes to become a certified public accountant. The board approved a contract with Reliable Mechanical Company for HVAC replacement at the police station at a cost of $153,570. The board approved the purchase of a 2020 Ford Explorer from Shields Auto Group for Public Works Administration at a cost of $31,590. Approved the purchase of a 2020 F-350 truck chassis from Shields Auto Group for the Public Works Street and Water Division at a cost of $43,998. The board also heard from Haynes, who thanked those with the village and others who came by her business, downtown thrift store, and more, after a fire in the 100 block of Tanner Street destroyed a building located next to her building. She said even a member of the Gifford Fire Department who had been in charge of hosing down the back of her building to keep it from catching fire stopped by. Haynes said her business was closed for 4 or 5 days after the fire, but is back up and open. Ramage roll will change after December 2021 for Rantoul City Schools. Rantoul City Schools will have a new superintendent in the next 2 years. The RCS board extended the contract of Superintendent Michelle Ramage through December 31, 2022, but not all of that time will be in her current position. She will serve as the superintendent until December 31, 2021, and then for the last year of the contract, she will work as a central office administrator, assisting with transition of new superintendent. The contract was approved by the school board at Thursday night's meeting. The contract was a unanimous 5-0 vote. Board members Mark Keyes and Joe Robinson were not in attendance. In other business, the board approved a calendar for the 2021 school year. The board had 3 options to choose from and chose option number 3. The calendar will include a start date for staff of Wednesday, August 12th, and students will start Friday, August 14th. Winter break starts Monday, December 21st. Staff returns Monday, January 4th, and the students return January 5th. The schools will be out Good Friday and Easter Monday. There will be a Teachers Institute Friday, April 23rd. The board also approved a project that will replace all of the classroom and office doors in the main hallway at J.W. Eder. The board also approved an agreement with Forum Fitness Center that allows employees to receive a discount. The district currently has 57 employees taking advantage of this agreement. It is by far the most of any of its corporate contracts. RCS agreed to pay $5 per employee. In return, any employee of Rantoul City Schools can purchase an annual Forum Fitness Center pass for a discounted price. Lori Bednarz was introduced as the full-time pre-kindergarten director. Bednarz will be entering her 25th year as an educator. The next board meeting will be at 6:30 p.m. Thursday, February 20th in the Robert D. Little Boardroom. Rantoul Township High School Board adopts district goals. The Rantoul Township High School Board approved district goals at its January 13th board meeting, setting in motion a process that Superintendent Scott Amerio likened to a relay race. "The board is handing the baton off to me. I'm carrying it down the track," he said. Goal setting began in September when board members met for 3 hours with members of the Teachers Association to develop a vision for the district. Amerio took the proposed goals to public forums at RTHS and the feeder schools for input and to district staff. His next step is to take the goals to the administrative team for further discussion. "For example," Amerio said, "one goal is to increase parent involvement." "What does that look like? How do we measure it?" he said. "Once we decide that, then what does increase mean and what's reasonable?" Once those details have been determined, the rest of the staff will become involved. The goals encompass 5 areas: student achievement and curriculum, programs and services, facilities, district community relations, and district finances. The board also approved posting 2 new special education positions to take up the responsibilities that Director of Special Programs Sandy Davis will be leaving behind at the end of the year. Davis retired 2 years ago but returned to work part-time. The new positions will also cover responsibilities Amerio said had been splintered off to other staff members. Amerio met with the counseling staff for input on what was needed. "Without hesitation, they said what we really need is a guidance counselor for our students with IEPs," Amerio said. "An IEP is an individual education plan. One of the new positions is a special education counselor. The other is a special education coordinator. With both positions, a strong special education background will be more important than counseling or administrative certification." The district had had a special education counselor in the past, but the position vanished when the person filling it retired, Amerio said. "Guidance counselors have knowledge about how to guide careers, but there is so much extra with kids with IEPs. There is so much paperwork and other stuff, Amerio said. It's kind of a specialized position. The special education coordinator would oversee the special education program, including legalities, the IEP process, tuition paid out to other programs, and paraprofessionals. Amy Jones, dean of freshmen and sophomores, spoke to the board about the student and staffaldy recognition program. Staffaldy refers to faculty and non-faculty staff members. We wanted to create more recognition for students who may not be publicly recognized, she said. Every 2 weeks, students, faculty, and staff nominate students or staffaldy based on something positive that person has done for the school community. Winners are selected using a blind drawing and announced over the intercom. The 4 winning students receive a gift card. Their pictures and a short write-up about each is posted on the corridor. Nominees who are not chosen are recognized at a pizza party at the end of the semester and given certificates. 3 staffaldy names are drawn. The public recognition is nice for students as well as staffaldy, from teachers to custodians to maintenance people, Principal Todd Wilson said. It's really nice to be recognized in front of your peers and have that blurb read about you. It's really a positive thing. Jones said one student was nominated because he had made it to all of his classes on time during the semester. That was a big thing for him, she said. Often, Jones said, students are surprised that anyone has taken notice. Another time, a student was having such a difficult morning that he was about to skip out for the rest of the day. She persuaded him to stay a little longer. 5 minutes later, his award was announced. He told Jones he was glad she had made him stay. In other business, the board approved a February 14th-15th trip by the track team to Indiana University Bloomington for a meet. The board also directed Amerio to prepare the 2021 budget and approved an agreement with Forum Fitness Center for discounted annual passes for staff members. Regarding personnel, the board accepted resignations from English teacher Stephen Graybeck, effective at the end of the school year, and from boys basketball head coach Brett Frericks. 2 new hires, Stephanie Mencius as bilingual instructional aide and Ryan Wines as paraprofessional supervising students at a Hope Meadows construction project, were approved. Also approved were appointments of Eric Gertis, head baseball coach, Nick Riddle, assistant baseball coach, Ryan Parker, head boys basketball coach, John Tolbert, volunteer for a music department trip, and Mary Mermelstein, assistant student council sponsor. Family and Medical Leave Act leave was approved for April Jones. Jonathan Gossett was recognized as January Exchange Club Student of the Month. Amerio reported the district received $51,051 this month in Champaign County 1% school facilities sales tax. We'll turn now to the death notices for the week. Elmer Hulls, 85, of St. Joseph, father of a Gifford resident, died January 14th at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Gravesite services were held January 18th at Stanton Cemetery. Cremation rites were accorded. Blurton Funeral Home was in charge of arrangements. Memories and condolences may be posted with the family on his memorial page at blurtonfuneralhomes.com. Mary Masco, 91, of Paxton, formerly of Thawville, died January 15th at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton Senior Living. Funeral services were held January 21st at Panazzo Brothers Funeral Home, Chicago Heights, followed by burial in Holy Sepulchre Cemetery, Alsop. Bayer Family Funeral Services Paxton is in charge of local arrangements. Memorials may be made to Special Olympics. Condolences may be offered at bayerfuneralservices.com. Leland Casita, 92, formerly of Villa Grove, father of a Rantoul resident, died January 17th at the Arthur Home in Arthur. Funeral services were held January 21st at First Christian Church, Villa Grove. Burial followed in Murdoch Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorial contributions to the First Christian Church in Villa Grove or to Little Galilee Christian Camp and Retreat Center, Clinton. Joyne's Funeral Home, Villa Grove, was in charge of arrangements. This concludes the reading of the death notices for the week. We'll return and finish now with local news. State police warn public of scammers using state police district phone numbers. From Springfield. Illinois state police officials have received multiple calls from the public concerning suspected scam calls. Various ISP districts throughout the state have received reports from people saying they have received calls from individuals with a foreign accent claiming to be members of the Illinois State Police seeking their personal information. It has also been reported the callers claim there is some police matter that needs to be resolved that requires the would-be victim's personal information, full name, date of birth, social security number, etc. Concerned citizens have also reported the telephone number where the call originated matched the ISP district telephone number. This type of scam is a common technique known as spoofing. Spoofing occurs when a telephone number is manipulated and disguised to look like an alternate telephone number of a person's choosing. Usually the number is disguised to match the telephone number of a government agency that would typically gather personal information in the performance of their duties. A few factors to consider. Always ask the caller to identify himself or herself by name. If an Illinois State Police trooper needs to collect personal information from you, he or she will usually collect the information during an in-person interview. Although there are times when an incident will require a follow-up telephone call by an ISP trooper to gather additional information, for example, a traffic crash investigation, an Illinois State Police trooper will never ask for your social security number over the phone. The trooper will also have knowledge of the incident you were involved in and your specific role in that incident. Scammers can be aggressive in their techniques. One of their most common used techniques is to create a sense of urgency and fear in their potential victims in order to gain their personal information. If you receive a call from an ISP trooper claiming to be calling from a state police district, request the name of the caller and advise the caller you will call them back. Look up the ISP district phone number they claim to be calling from, then call the number and ask to speak to the trooper whose name you were given. If there is not a trooper by that name, advise the call taker of the incident that just occurred. ISP district telephone numbers can be found on the ISP website at www.isp.state.il.us. Demolition of burned building knocks out power in section of downtown Rantoul. A service support pole near the building that burned on New Year's Day in the 100 block of South Tanner Street was broken during demolition efforts Wednesday morning, shutting off power to an area downtown. Rantoul Public Works Director Greg Hazel said the pole located near the northeast corner of the property was broken. Residential apartments and a commercial property lost power, Hazel said. Village Electric personnel worked to replace the pole, resag the service conductors, and restore electric service to customers. Work at the site also resulted in a water line breakage which shut off water to the building at 112 East Sangamon Avenue. The building, owned by Marion Valentine, was deemed a total loss after the late-night fire. Investigators said the fire appeared to have started in the area of a wood-burning stove located in the building. The building housed storage space, a workshop for Valentine, as well as the location for TT Distribution fasteners and tool sales, which has moved to a property around the corner in the 100 block of East Sangamon. This has been Tamara reading the Rantoul Press. I hope to read with you again soon. Have a great week.